proclaiming the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another program about Bible characters. In the previous lessons, we have studied the events leading up to the birth of John the Baptist. We learned about his parents, Zacharias, an elderly priest, and Zacharias' wife Elizabeth. We studied the extraordinary nature of the angelic pronouncement that Zacharias received, and the events that accompanied it. We remarked upon the unusual circumstances surrounding the naming of that newborn child. In this session, we begin to look at Zacharias' actual hymn of praise. We note that Zacharias did not speak much about his own private family concerns. He did not rejoice in his own belated fatherhood. He did not rejoice in God's removal of Elizabeth's barrenness. Instead, the theme of his song in Luke chapter 1 centered upon God's blessings bestowed upon his people. Zacharias mentioned his newborn son only in connection with John the Baptist's mission as the forerunner of Messiah. Luke noted that the elderly priest was filled with the Holy Ghost. Thus, his words transcend the mere expression of his personal opinions. His psalm of praise came directly to him from God. It thus carries the same weight as any other song in Scripture would carry. Zacharias began his hymn by praising God. How appropriate this would be, as his priestly predecessors frequently sang, quote, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised." God had also said that whosoever offers praise glorifies him. Thus, Zacharias gave God glory by starting his song with praise. The first portion of Zacharias' hymn praised God for his intervention on behalf of his people. Through the prophets in the Old Testament, God promised to give the Jewish people someone who would be like Moses, but would be even greater than Moses. Years had passed since Malachi, the final Old Testament prophet, had proclaimed God's message about the Son of Righteousness. But the fullness of time had at last arrived. After some 400 years since Malachi's prophecies, the arrival of the Messiah promised was at hand. Zacharias then extolled God for redeeming his people, Israel. David, in the third psalm, noted that salvation belongs to the Lord, an affirmation that Isaiah echoed in the 12th chapter of his prophecy. God had delivered his people from bondage to Egypt, as recorded in the days of the Exodus. But now God would deliver his people from an even greater bondage, bondage to sin. John the Baptist would announce the coming of Messiah, the one who said, "If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Zechariah spoke about God protecting Israel from her enemies and from all those who hate Israel. To be sure, many Jews eagerly looked for, indeed worked for, a day when they would drive the occupying Roman armies out of their homeland. However, God had something different in mind. His promised redemption transcended liberation from political tyranny or social oppression. The Savior declared that he came to earth to seek and to save those who were lost. The salvation that he brought included emancipation from the burden of sin. It included the forgiveness and the cleansing from sin. It included ultimate victory over the power of sin. Most of the Jewish people in his day did not want that kind of deliverance. Instead, they looked for political liberation from Rome. Jesus Christ, however, would bring them that greater deliverance. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another session about Bible characters.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.